You'll also find that same reference in Genesis 3:22. And I believe Genesis 1:26 through 28, let us make man in our image. And also in Isaiah 6:8, the calling of Isaiah, who will go for us? Interesting. But when God says nothing will be impossible for them, he's not talking about the potential for good. He's talking about the potential for what? For evil. And think about this for a minute. If only one government and only one political and economic system exists on the face of the earth, and that system falls into the wrong hands, an Adolf Hitler, a Saddam Hussein, an Ahmadinejad, a Fidel Castro, Mao Zedong, I mean, whatever villain in history and even in modern times you think of, if the wrong person or group of people gets control over the whole government, then there's no hope. The potential for evil is unlimited. So what God does is he did a miracle whereby he confounded the language. We know that there was only one language at the time. Genesis 11 verse 1 tells us that. In fact, some linguists have said you can track all languages of the world back to a common denominator. So biblically there was one language and they were coming together and they were building this system. They were building their stairway into heaven. And there's a very interesting reference in the first century writings of Josephus who says they built this tower into heaven as rebellion against God because they said, God, even if you bring a flood again, you're not going to affect us or judge us ever again because we'll be up in a tower. And so whatever it is they were doing, it was a revolt. It was a rebellion. In fact, if you go back to Genesis 9, verse 1, after the flood, it was the will of God for humanity to disperse. Notice Genesis 9 and verse 1. They were to disperse throughout the whole earth. It says, and God blessed Noah and his descendants and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In other words, don't coalesce in one part of the earth, but go forth throughout the earth, subdue the earth, sort of like what he told Adam and Eve to do, and repopulate the earth. And these people were doing the exact opposite. They were coming together, they were rebelling against the flood, perhaps, if Josephus is accurate. Nimrod's name, as I mentioned before, is rebellion. And they were doing the opposite of what God wanted, and they were building a one-world system that excludes God, and God saw it and didn't like it because of the potential for evil. So God intervenes and prevents them from cooperating with each other by confusing their one language into multiple languages. And the builders couldn't talk back and forth amongst each other anymore, and the building project, because of a lack of the ability to cooperate, was stopped dead in its tracks. And so it's at this point that the Lord creates multiple ethnicities or multiple languages and multiple governments. Because that way, if evil gets hold of one government, what can the other governments do? Arise and oppose. And this is what's happened many times in history. The Allies arose and fought against Adolf Hitler, and we could give other examples. So if you have multiple nations, multiple governments, you have sort of a built-in check and balance system against evil. And speaking as an American, many people are curious as to why the American experiment in self-liberty has worked, at least for around 200 years. I believe the answer to that is how the American system of government decentralizes power. It doesn't place power in one individual. It distributes it through three separate branches. The legislature passes law, the executive enforces the law, the judiciary interprets the law. Now, today, a lot of that has been turned on its head, but that was the original vision. And the American system of government, actually what it does is it takes power and not only disperses it horizontally amongst three branches of government, but it disperses it vertically. as you really, in America, have two layers of government. We call it national federalism. You have the national government, and then you have the 50 states with their own governments. And when you study the American system of government very carefully, and you look at the 10th Amendment, for example, you discover that the true source of power was to stay in the states and not be concentrated in the national government. And sadly, what's happened is the national government over time has acquired more and more power, and the states have become progressively weaker. But that was not the original vision. And people complain, nothing's getting done in Washington, D.C. And I say, praise God, nothing's getting done in Washington, D.C. That's how our founding fathers designed it. It wasn't supposed to be efficient. And God, I believe, is largely doing something similar here. He's decentralizing power. Now, why is God doing that? Because God knows human nature. This is a statement God made about human nature after the fall. Genesis 8:21. It says, "The Lord smelled the smoothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, 'I will never again curse the ground on account of man.'" Look at this. "For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth." We, as parents, never had to take our daughter and set her aside and say, okay, mom and dad are going to give you some lessons on how to be selfish. Here's how you be selfish. Ready? Here's a lesson. Here's how you throw a tantrum when you don't get your way. Here's how you hoard your toys and not share nicely with your friends. We didn't have to teach our daughter those things because they came to her naturally. She obviously got those traits from her mom. All kidding aside, the sin nature is passed down through the man, as you might know, biblically. So she has this sin nature by nature. What we have to teach her is how to have self-control. How not to mope and pout when you don't get your way. How to be generous. How to share. Those are things that are unnatural for her, and those are things that our parents instilled in us as well. So God doesn't want one man to control the world because of the corrupted human nature. What did Lord Acton say? All power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts what? Absolutely. So the more you become a student of human nature, the more you buy into what the Bible says about human nature, which I believe our America's founding fathers understood human nature very well. You can read Madison and Jay and Hamilton in the Federalist Papers, like Federalist Paper 51, talk about the corruptibility of human nature. I don't know if every one of America's founding fathers was a born-again Christian or not. I have a tendency to think many of them were. But they were consciously aware of biblical teaching. That I'm certain of. And they came from a point of view that human nature is corrupted, and they were great students of history, and they saw what happened when power was centralized. And so they developed this system of checks and balances where one person couldn't get control of everything. And that largely is what God is doing here. He is decentralizing power. He is not wanting these builders to be able to work with each other. Does God have an opinion on world government? Yes, he's against it. The only world government that will ever work is the one that Jesus runs. Because he's the only one without the sin nature. And I'm not really interested in being part of anybody's new world order unless it's the millennial kingdom. I'll be a part of that one. But all of these human philosophers that want this new world order, I really have no interest in it because it goes directly against the things of God. So when you start to study this doctrine, you'll discover that the normal ordering of things is individual nations. God himself is in favor of individual nations. For example, many passages, Deuteronomy 32, and verse 8, it says, "When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set boundaries of the people according to the number of the sons of Israel." You'll notice the emphasis there on peoples, nations, boundaries.